The Team Never Quit podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. If you've been thinking about getting a brand new car, then look no further than Navy Federal. Check out all the amazing things they've got to help you out at NavyFederal.org.
Team Never Quit. Team Never Quit Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, watching, and most importantly, subscribing. If you haven't already, make sure you followed us on YouTube because we're dropping new videos every single week. We got a brand new podcast studio and it is sweet. We keep making changes every week to make it look cooler and it's just getting better and better. So make sure you're following us there. We've got a Patreon question of the day from Shailene, which... here it is. She asks, what is your favorite to-go order at Whataburger?
They are not from Texas, so do y'all even know what Whataburger is?
I do. I do know what it is, but I don't...
Thank you. See, I wouldn't have said that.
First of all, respect. Whoa.
First of all, have you ever heard of it?
Heard of it, but I don't think I've ever been to one. Never been to one.
What?
Mine.
Whataburger catered.
Mine is the Whataburger Junior. No onions, add cheese, and a small Diet Coke.
Yeah, I'm a patty melt guy.
Mm-hmm. Number two, shredded cheese. No lettuce, tomato, pickle. Large fry, side of gravy.
Every once in a while, I like to have their taco.
What? They have a taco?
They have a taco, but... a couple of years ago, they changed it, and they ended up, because they used to put fresh veggies on it, like lettuce and tomatoes, and then at some point, they changed it to where they put grilled veggies on it. I don't like the grilled veggies on it. So when I order the taco, I say the old way, the lettuce, the tomatoes, and the shredded cheese, instead of the new way of it being like hot. Before, it wasn't like that.
Got it.
So.
Dairy Queen has good tacos. Low key, if you didn't know.
Does sometimes. One time I got it and the meat was cold and I did not like that. Yeah.
I didn't know Dairy Queen had tacos.
Yeah.
They're excellent tacos.
Yeah.
Is there like any like really good fast food restaurants that are like kind of unique to y'all's area?
Well, we have Dairy Queen and
we have a Serious Texas Barbecue.
Oh, you do? Yeah. In Colorado?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But you don't have one of the, there's not a signature
Colorado place.
It's a White Castle up in the.
I don't think Colorado north, right? Owns, like, they can't claim.
Nothing?
No, nothing as far as fast food goes. Yeah.
There's no signature Colorado fast food joint.
Nothing.
No.
That's sad.
That's why they're healthier.
That's why you're way skinnier than us.
There you go, right there.
That's why they're way healthier than we are.
We have Bluebell ice cream, and we have Whataburger, and
Bluebell.
And down all here. The Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
It's just hard to cook at altitude, I'm sure. It's hard to...
Yeah, it takes a lot longer to boil water up there, so
yeah.
You can't do anything fast up there. Everything's in slow-mo.
Well, Shailene, thank you so much for your Patreon question. If you want to ask your question to the guest, to the host, make sure you join us, patreon.com/teamneverquit. We've got exclusive gear, behind-the-scenes content, all kind of stuff when you join us on Patreon, so make sure you guys check that out. We've got an awesome twins on the fam on the show today, which is fun because, you know, we've got some twins in our family here, and I think that's going to be awesome. They are three-time Olympians in the sport of biathlon. Twin sisters Lanny and Tracy Barnes have completed in several Olympics together before both girls made history and inspired the world when Tracy selflessly gave Lanny her spot on the Sochi. Did I say it right? Sochi. I did not write Sochi.
Sochi.
Send your chi.
Russia, 2014. Olympic team after Lanny fell ill during the final trials and wasn't able to complete all the races. Welcome to the show, Lanny and Tracy.
Thanks for having us. We're so excited to be here.
This is exciting, for sure.
Well, and I really wanted Morgan here because obviously the
twins. The twin dynamic, yes.
The twins and twins thing, but Morgan couldn't make it because he had real work to do.
Real work.
I had to miss out on this.
That's what this is.
I know.
He's the older brother. So when it comes to this, he's like, does that still work with y'all?
Oh,
who's
yeah.
the oldest? Tracy, you the oldest?
Lanny?
I'm 5 minutes older.
Five? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm the baby, too. Yeah. That's a thing. Do y'all still do that? Like, oh. I don't get to drive anywhere. He still opens his presents before I do. Kind of talks down to me every now and again.
You know, I took on more of the responsible role, I feel like.
Yeah, but
really?
The only reason why, though, is we didn't know that I was older until we were probably 12. Yeah,
right? Oh, stop it. We hadn't even looked into that yet.
Yeah, we just assumed that she was older because she took on the older sibling role. Like, she did everything. She kind of looked out for me. You know,
you can kind of
like
tell,
that.
Right? That's a vibe. We have that, too.
Yeah. I remember the day we found out, we're like, are our parents actually our parents? You know, everything fell apart. We're like...
Oh, we rolled through that as well.
Yeah.
Did they know y'all were both there?
No.
That's the same thing happened to us. Yeah. I was a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, they told our mom she was having a really big boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they could only detect one heartbeat.
Yeah, same with us.
So until she came out, they didn't know that they were having twins.
Oh my gosh.
It's cool, right? I came in on the heels too.
Yeah, they didn't know.
I think my dad fainted when he found out.
Yeah. Well, just imagine thinking you're going to have a really big boy and then getting two little girls.
Yeah.
Twin girls.
That is so funny. And you have another sister. Is she older or younger?
Older by 14 months.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, they were only planning on having two. So technically, I could have been, you know, the mistake, the whoopsie. Oh.
Did they already have a name for the boy?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We spent an extra day or two in the hospital because they wouldn't release us until my parents had names.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, how funny.
Yeah.
Were y'all early?
Nope.
You went full term?
Yeah.
Oh, nice work. Yeah, my own mama couldn't hold us. We were 2 months early.
Really?
Like, cool. Oh, three pounds. 4 pounds when we came in.
Yeah, one was 3-something and one was 4-something.
Ooh, that's tiny.
Yeah, well, so people look at us now and they can't believe that, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. She was smaller. I clamped down on that umbilical cord.
that's what I mean. I was getting crushed in there too, right?
How funny.
Establishing dominance already. Yeah.
That's awesome. So I know y'all, obviously, from the She Never Quit event, which is one of my favorite things that we are able to do. So bummed last year we couldn't do it because of COVID. But I want everybody else to hear y'all's story. Like, your parents pretty much lived, like, the real, true American dream. And from, you know, you shared some on Instagram. And if you could just tell us that story, we can go from there.
Well, I think we were very fortunate because we had incredible role models. Our parents, they worked hard at everything they did, and they taught, instilled that in us too. I think my mom was a school teacher, and she was one of those teachers that you either feared her or you loved her.
Yeah.
What grades and what'd she teach?
She taught, first off, middle school science, and then she did biology.
In high school,
and then AP science and stuff like that, and we had her for a semester, and she was the hardest teacher we ever had. Like,
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know whether to call her mom or Mrs. Barnes, and it was weird. But it was the hardest A I ever had to earn because she. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't, you know, help us out with her homework or anything.
Oh my
She's like, the other kids don't get my help, so, you know, you're on your own. But,
oh, wow.
She probably tried to gauge the way, because off of y'all, how she would teach. Like, if you guys could pick that up in the rest of the class, that was probably the scale. Made it harder on y'all, right?
But yeah, definitely. But, yeah, I mean, she was a phenomenal teacher. She really pushed her students and stuff. And then my dad, he started out as a shop teacher and then... started his own construction company and just worked really hard. You know,
they started out in a little tiny leaky trailer in Durango and then just kind of built their way up, you know, working, especially my dad working nights and all sorts of weekend projects and things like that just to try and make it, especially with three kids in diapers and trying to start a new business and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, they were incredible role models. And yeah, I mean, we just, growing up, we did anything and everything we could, especially outdoors. And living in the outdoors, you learn a lot of things about how to take care of yourself, and if you fall, you have to get yourself back up, and it was great having my twin sister and our older sister, because we pushed each other in everything we did. It was one big competition after another.
Oh, how fun!
Yeah.
And does your older sister have the same interest?
She does. Like, we grew up doing a lot of sports together, and we're all three of us are best friends, and we always say that she went the academic route and we went the sports route.
She had the good looks and the brains.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do y'all get along pretty good though?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. She became a ear, nose and throat surgeon.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. She,
that's awesome.
Overachieving nexus right there.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So then, yeah, we went the jock route, I guess, the went after sports and,
Yeah, grew up shooting with our dad, and so we tried out shooting competitions, and the first one we did were just not our thing. We wanted a little bit more excitement with it, and so someone told us, we were kind of juggling a soccer ball and stuff in between rounds of shooting, and they said, you're kind of in the wrong sport instead of just sitting there, getting your heart rate down, that sort of thing. And so they said, have you ever heard of biathlon? We're like, no. There's cross-country skiing in Colorado. You don't ski up those mountains. You take the chairlift up. Why would you ski up them? So we looked around for the sport and found it and tried it out. It was absolutely miserable. We sucked at it.
Really?
We started it in high school. We downhill skied growing up, but never cross-country skied. And so, starting a new sport when you're, especially in high school, when you're...
That's my question. Is that sport cool? Is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just brutal, even if you're good at it.
So explain this.
How do you stick? I mean, what's the grab?
I think for us, we grew up playing soccer and we were really good at it, and it came easy to us. We practiced a lot and practiced really hard, but we were natural at it. And when we started biathlon, we were horrible, like Tracy said. And I think what drew us to that is that it was a challenge. It was a really, really good challenge, and we're like, we're not gonna quit this until we figure it out.
Yeah,
and
we did see early success, but it wasn't because we were any good. We just stuck our head down and gutted it out through a race. We'd be flailing and flopping all over, falling all over the course. But we'd get back up and pass someone again and again until, so that we saw early success, but it wasn't because we were any good. We just kept going.
Do y'all motivate each other? If one of you is not doing well, is the other hard on, do you get hard on her and vice versa?
No, not necessarily like that. I think the way we kind of look at it is if one of us is doing well, the other one could do just as good because we're exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like with the U.S. Olympic Committee, they published a lot of our physiological tests because they were exactly the same. Like, we go on a treadmill, heart rate would be the same, VO max would be the same, lactic acid would be the same.
Oh my
Everything
gosh.
Was exactly the same. So we knew that if one of us had a bad day, it was because of that. It was a bad day, and not that you couldn't have.
Usually it came down to this on that day. Not, skill-wise,
we were the same.
Yeah,
it's always that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's neat that y'all understood that and accepted it at an early age, that it's your mind, it's not your physical, a lot of people would just give up or just say, oh, you're better than me or whatever. But y'all knew at that age that you could just, that everything was equal playing field.
Yeah. For sure. And then I think, like Lanny said, the draw to biathlon was that it was so tough. And then I think one of the other draws for us was because as a nation, we were definitely at the bottom. We were the underdogs. I mean, the Norwegians, the Russians, the Germans, they were all, they grow up competing in biathlon. And that's our thing. They have schools for kids, elementary, middle school, that's what you do. You study on occasion, but you do biathlon.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's a lifestyle for them. And to come into that, we wanted to kind of,
build up something if we could. And that challenge was something that drew us to it.
So you were in high school when you started trying that out?
Yeah.
What did your parents think?
I think my dad liked it because biathlon, its roots are hunting on skis. And so he's like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's kind of my thing. You know, he's not great on skis, but just hunting was his thing. So he was pretty into it. My mom's like, why would you want to do that? You're good at soccer, you know. I can go watch you and then go to the beach as opposed to in biathlon, you know.
Frostbite.
I'm going to get frostbite if I go out and watch you, you know. So, but, I mean, they were very supportive. They said, no matter what you do, just don't give up. If you're going to go for it, go for it. Don't just put your toes into it and then, you know, back out. And so I think that was what their motivation was, is like, if you're going to do it, then go all the way.
Who got better faster? It's a thing. I don't give me. Oh no, I love you. I love you. I get that. I mean, I get all y'all's defenses. I want to hear that part, because that's the trick.
Okay,
right?
So
there is the drive.
In the beginning, Tracy was a lot better than me. Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
You know there is. Cool.
Yep. Yeah. In the beginning, she had a lot more success.
Yeah.
And then I got lucky on one race, and then after that, I had a teeny bit more.
It's a trick, right? When Mojo would get good at something, I mean, he'd just take off with it. But I would get fascinated at how good he was at it. And then it was never a point to where he would talk down to me because I couldn't do it. He wanted me to get good at it so I could compete with him, yeah. Right? And you kind of feed off each other. But then there's always that twin thing, because he would learn some cool trick that would shift. Like from when you're good to you get real good. It's, you know what I'm talking about. With us, it's one thing. And when everyone's usually explaining how they get good at something, they give you the outline. Like, oh, I did this, worked hard, I ate my breakfast, I'm just like they told you to.
Yeah.
But then there's that one thing where like, oh, that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
That's all you had to tell me. And it's that body shift. You're like, oh, okay. And usually one picks it up before the other one. But it's a pull and push deal. We're the same way.
Yeah, and I think you guys probably saw a lot. You have your biggest competition and your best friend competing with you every day, pushing you every day. So it makes a difference. I feel like you can get to a higher level doing that than as opposed to someone who you don't have such a close relationship with.
There were days I would call at the end of the day. I'd call him up just to, and I mean, beat to death. Just the worst day ever. Because when they separate us, you know, that's a vulnerability. And he would be so fired up about me getting my ass whipped, because that's what I went there for.
Marcus went to Bud.
I went first.
Morgan.
I had to go through first. And I mean, I would tell him, everything I would describe to him is what he read in the books and what we saw. And that's what fired us up to do it.
Yeah.
But when you're going through it, it's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he constantly was like, oh, you're good. You're so good. Just keep going. I'll be there beside you. You don't even know it, man. And that's what I needed to hear. Just that one, it's kind of like your own voice talking to you.
Yeah.
Our own parents can't tell us apart over a phone. You know what I mean? That when you hear that tone come through, you're just like, oh, that's all I need to hear. Just tell me to keep going. Just tell me to keep going, right?
Yeah.
Because it's when you're looking at your mirror, it's like, hey, we're all we got. You know, what else is there?
Yeah.
Let's just keep going. It's something.
Yeah, a lot of people have that voice inside their head. Well, this is that voice, you know?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like as a twin, sometimes you have your communication skills aren't as good, because when you grow up with someone all the time, you don't have to communicate like most normal people do, because you already know what I'm thinking, what I want to say, things like that. So I don't necessarily
each other
have
sentences.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So
that is so funny. So your first, like, when did you find out that you were making it to the Olympics?
It was kind of a really challenging, all three Olympics, making the Olympic team was a challenge. Biathlon's just, I don't know, it can be just downright miserable. But the first Olympic trials, you made it outright. Like, you just, she had really good races. And for me, it came down to, like, just a couple seconds. Like, I barely squeaked it out.
And
Olympic trials are this process. They start out, you start out kind of the beginning of the year with this larger pool of people, and then it just gets whittled down and whittled down throughout the year. And then usually the last trials of the year is usually five people and there's four spots.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's one of those things, and it's just this long, drawn out, exhausting process over the whole year. And so Yeah, so our first Olympics, like Lenny said, she barely made the team. Like, you know.
What does that even mean? What does that mean?
She made it.
I know, that's my point. I'm like, what are you talking about? Barely made the team.
But there's other people that could have taken her spot.
I get that part too. Yeah. You got to get that out of you. Yeah. You barely made the team.
Well, like I mean, for us, a lot of times, like, the difference between a medal can be, you know, being on the podium is, you know.
Fraction of a second.
Fraction of a second, or, you know, the width of a bullet, you know, if you miss a shot.
Sure, life and death. I get that part. I was just being excited about being on the team. You
know, okay, so she made the team.
Looking the whole big picture thing, I was like,
he's always trying to remain on the positive end.
Oh, sure.
So,
you know how hard that is? They're making light of this. So it's three Olympics. It was kind of tough. We're just, I was like, man, y'all skipped over a big old. I'll be quiet.
Well, no, I want 23.
You're 23 for your first Olympics. And how many people are competing in the U.S. to be on the team?
Well, for the invites in the initial start of the trials, a couple hundred.
Oh, wow. They invite them, and then it
whittles down to, like Tracy said, five for four spots. So.
And the biggest players are always from where?
Mountain towns.
No, well, actually it's
from, there are a ton out east.
Yeah. There's not a lot of biathlon venues in the U.S. So
no, we're talking about the Olympics. I'm talking about the world.
Yeah. The Russians.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
The Germans.
Who do you have to go?
The Norwegians.
Okay.
The Scandinavians in general. Yeah. I mean, they grow up cross-country skiing to school and
just to get around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's what I thought. I was like, I know competing here, but overall, there are powerhouses around.
Yeah. And even some of the top European biathletes will make 500,000 euro a year.
Yeah, the top male is making over €1 million a year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so when we go over there and compete, we'll have between 30 and 50,000 spectators at a World Cup. Mm-hmm. And more people watch a biathlon on a Tuesday than watch the Super Bowl here in the
US.
Isn't
that crazy?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they're crazy about
it. It's unbelievable. The minute you step out of here, it's unbelievable. When y'all go overseas, there's a couple of athletes that I know, Superbike champions too. That stuff is amazing.
Yeah, it was weird because biathlon trading cards, like baseball cards.
Right, so y'all come over here to get away.
Yeah, we couldn't walk down the streets over there without getting hounded by people for autographs. And we come over here and people are like, who are you?
Yeah,
you know? Which is fine, you know. We can get our parents to show up to a race over here in the U.S. Maybe.
That's so funny.
Right? Yeah. Like, can't get our parents to walk and do anything.
It's
right
cold.
Here.
I ain't going.
Oh my gosh. So the first Olympics you went to, where was that at?
Torino, Italy.
Oh, in Italy. Oh, I bet that was fun. We actually were in those mountains. We went from on our honeymoon.
That's a terrible story.
That we
story.
Won't talk about. It was a horrible honeymoon.
Oh, yeah. Our honeymoon was a disaster.
It was. But
they should make a movie about it.
We went from Switzerland to...
We didn't even come home together.
To Milan. So we went through those mountains in northern Italy.
It was beautiful territory.
It was really pretty.
Yeah. What's up? I love you so much.
I love you, too. Team we didn't talk at all, but
it was great. Nice.
Well, the marriage has been awesome. All we had to do was
make
it
through
that.
We've been married for 10 years. The honeymoon was horrible.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Okay.
So, our first Olympics, I mean, it's like anything, your first time.
What does that mean?
No, it's not.
That's not a thing. You got to give me more than that. It's just like with anything. Like open the door, driving for the first time?
Okay, so what
going
about
to the
your...
Olympics has to be the most intense thing ever.
Just like your first tour. It's the most probably the most intense thing ever.
Great way of saying that.
Your eyes are this big.
Train
you know,
for it. You got no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
That's how
it's
go, right?
Like when you go outside in the dark and all your senses are heightened and you're just like, yeah, over-heightened. So we screwed up, I think, a little bit. You try too
we
hard.
We did okay. You tried too hard.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. So you bonk and then
exactly.
No recovery.
That's a thing.
That had to be so cool, though, to be representing your country.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the coolest things, I think, for us was the opening ceremonies when you get a walk-in behind your flag.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best feeling in the world.
That's really all I like to watch in the Olympics is the opening ceremony because I could just, like, I cry
watching
that.
The entire planet's watching that.
Yeah.
It's
the entire planet's watching you guys go through that.
To see how excited our competitors are and just see who's representing us and where they're from. It's just the neatest thing.
What's the vibe? You can feel that too, right? When you're in there, it's something, huh?
Yep. Yeah, you walk in behind the flag. They announce, you know, United States of America, and the whole stadium erupts in cheers of USA, you know, and it just, oh, man, it just
there's so much adrenaline rush, you know. It, I think more walking in behind the flag than actual competing.
I was going to ask you, is that something? Like when people are like, hey, why do you keep going back to the Olympics? So I can walk into that first part, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
because the closing ceremonies, I bet.
And to win.
No, there's that.
I would think that because they're very, I mean, so, so competitive. I would think that your eye is on a medal.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, and you always want to, I mean, you always want to compete with biathlon. Especially with the two different sports, trying to combine both of them, rarely does everything get combined to where it's perfect. But man, when you combine it, it is the best feeling in the whole world. It makes all those days of training and all those times you fell on your face absolutely worth it. Yeah. So we did the Torino Olympics and then just, you know, got the taste of it, you know, when you get a taste of something and you want more. Yeah. And so trained hard for another 4 years and then started that whole long process of the trials again, you know, big pool, whittle down, whittle down, whittle down.
So you here when you're doing that, or you, where do y'all
start out here in the U.S. in the summer? We're on roller skis.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
What, is it harder? Is that harder?
Well, if you want to stop, yes, because there's no brakes.
And are you on concrete?
Yeah, asphalt usually. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So railroad tracks and stop signs are not your friend when you have those things strapped to your feet. Oh. Yeah, that's just for training. When we do the competitions, right, like a closed course.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, right. That's crazy.
But y'all have those skis that you can go up the mountain with when there's no snow, right? It has those it's like rollerblades for the mountain.
Yep.
Y'all train how many years out of them? You just constantly?
Yeah, we'd get 2 weeks off in the spring, and then it was two workouts a day, every day the rest of the year, unless we were competing.
Y'all split that down, skiing to your abilities behind the rifle?
Usually combined it. There were times where we'd just work on our shooting skills, and it was just shooting, no heart rate or anything like that. But a lot of times we combine some sort of physical training with the shooting.
I'm going to take it down a rabbit hole. When you get to the line, do you slow your heart rate down, or do you pull your breathing to your heart rate to maintain an equilibrium to where you can shoot down that barrel without it moving up and down?
We try to shoot with as high a heart rate as possible.
You go up. Yep. That's what I thought. I do that too.
Yeah.
Because right?
Yep. You have less, the higher your heart rate, the less barrel movement.
Right, right.
I mean, not obviously compared to being at rest, but, you know, if you think of the EKG, the space between the beats, the bigger the gap between the beats, the more barrel movement you're going
to
have.
Correct, because it has nothing to do with your heartbeat. It's your lung movement. It's the barrel moving up and down.
Yeah.
So it's to breathe through that part, right?
Walk us through biathlon competition. So for the people that don't know, and you know, we're talking shooting and skiing, so how does this competition look?
Yeah, so it's a lot like
sniper school on skis.
Exactly
what it is,
but you're going uphill.
Up and down hills. Yeah,
going up and down hills.
Y'all are the most effective snipers, women.
Well, they are.
No, hands
for
down
sure.
First of all, in the sniper community, I know what I'm talking about. We study this. They will say that y'all are the most lethal thing that we have down here if you train properly. Y'all actually are, because of your ability to do that. Well, I don't have that ability for whatever reason. That's war tested, that kind of thing. So when y'all get good at it, it's terrifying. You know what I mean? It's like really scary.
Let me tell you,
if y'all have the ability to do both those things, seriously, because it's the hardest crust doing on the skis and the snow in that environment, period, because of the temperature. Outside and inside, right? On top of doing the hardest thing, which is shooting a rifle at something.
But is there a marker that you're skiing to shoot at, or like a target?
Yeah, so imagine this. There's a big stadium, a gigantic stadium, and there's, you know, 30,000, 50,000 people. In front of them is a start-finish area and then the shooting range.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to watch start finish. There's big jumbotron screens and stuff like that. So they have the whole course filmed. So what you do is you start, you ski a loop.
Come back into the range.
Come back into the shooting range. And you'll ski the same loop, just so it's spectator friendly. Because there's usually a lot of the courses, there's 3 to 5 people deep all the way around the course, just screaming their heads
off.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So
we watch it every time. I'm sorry. I get excited, man.
I know, but I want all our listeners aren't.
You when
know.
When yeah. you're skiing on the course in some of these stadiums, you can't feel yourself breathing. These people are just screaming so loud. You're going up a hill, and it's just it's loud. It's intense.
Yeah.
And when you come in to shoot, that whole crowd's just, you know, 30,000 people.
Yeah, you probably
just
can't even hear them when you hit, right?
No.
That's right.
No.
Think about that. It's screaming so loud that it takes away your...
You're like, did I get it?
And that's what makes the sport so fun is when you hit, they erupt, like cheering. And then when you miss, they boo.
Oh, God.
So puts a lot of pressure on it.
Right.
And you have five shots. So in between each shot, they either cheer or they boo. And then there's a penalty loop just right outside the shooting range. So if you miss any shot, you have to go ski that penalty loop, and they will... boo
you, know
you
about it, right?
All the way around that penalty loop.
And it's you're shooting a rifle.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have you're skiing on cross-country skis, and they're really thin compared to downhill skis. There's no metal edges. It's just plastic. Your heel's not hooked in. So they're very unstable. So downhills and stuff, you have to be on your toes all the time because, you know, you fall on that, you're going to break your rifle. And
oh, my god!
It's the hardest physical sport there is, right? And
yeah, they say
it has to be because of the environment.
They say you burn more calories in biathlon than any other sport in the world because it's in the cold. You're going up and down hills, and you're using your arms and your every muscle pretty much in your
that
body
so
to
hand
cool.
eye coordination with the just that because they make us run down up and down yard lines and do the craziest stuff just so we can lay down and learn how to shoot breathing like that.
And have they put you on skis?
No, but I'm not an Olympian. I was just an Olympian. Right. First of all, I was a Navy SEAL, and I had to go through that, and I was nowhere near qualified to what y'all were
talking Yeah, but you about. Guys are the Olympians in the military.
So. I get that's my compliment I'm trying to give you.
Put you on skis.
Because we got other stuff to do. But
well, I just think that would be a neat training thing just to...
Do you?
Yeah. Well, that's the Tenth Mountain Division.
Make it more miserable than it already is.
I'm going to call Sabrina.
Hey, the girl's got an idea.
Got an idea. I think you should put skis on him.
If y'all come train us, then we'll do it.
There we
the
go.
Sand.
You can do
well,
it.
Well, they no, there's some guys that ski on. We've done that before. In Colorado, there's the Great Sand Dunes,
yeah.
And we'll go over there and ski. And
oh,
some people
gosh.
Do it in Hawaii. They'll ski right along the surf and in the beach. And
oh, wow.
I mean, some of the desert
that
dunes, you could probably have
idea.
A blast out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so second time you're going through, where was that at?
So the second Olympics were going to be in Vancouver, Canada.
Okay.
So yeah, so we go through the whole trials process. We were favorites, I think, to make the team. We were kind of found ourselves in a switch role from the trials before. So Lanny's having good races. My first race, I totally bombed. It was awful. But I wasn't too worried because the next two races were races that really, there were a lot of shooting in it and that. That was
your thing.
That
yeah.
was my strength. Shooting was my strength. So I wasn't worried. Second race went really well. Third race, we woke up the day of the race, and you couldn't see past here. I mean, there was so much fog, and they ended up canceling the race.
What?
Yeah. So I fog? Never... Fog.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't see the targets. Yeah.
Okay, right,
couldn't
yeah.
see the targets. So... So normally they reschedule the race and it's not that big a deal. You just do it the next day or whatever. Well, for whatever reason, they didn't reschedule it.
Oh,
and
man.
They named the team based off of those first two races. So I had a bad race and a good race. And, yeah,
just wasn't
ended up
enough.
Being alternative, the, you
alternate
know,
of
alternate
the Olympic team.
Of the Olympic team that year, which was kind of a tough pill to swallow. Mostly because I just never got that chance.
Yeah.
You know, and it was something that it was, you know, something out of my control.
I was about to say, you can't put that on you at all if that
oh,
happened like that. Yeah.
For sure, yeah, but still.
It still sucks.
Yeah. You train hard for 4 years or longer than that, and then you just don't even get that chance. You know, that was tough. So, but regardless, I went and was able to watch her, and she had, to that point, the best U.S. finish, and when we were talking earlier about that, you know, podium being that far away, she missed her. Was it your last shot? Very last shot out of 20 targets, by that much, and that would have put her in the podium. So, but it made us hungry. Right?
Oh yeah, it was good, great motivation, because you know you realize
you were that close.
Yeah.
And it's possible.
And especially to, you know, an American coming in and trying and knocking on that door with all those Europeans that are, and Russians and Germans and Norwegians that are so good at this sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's
that's the best part about y'all. It's like, hey, if we're going to come up and knock on the door and then you don't let us in, then we'll come in, we'll kick the door in, and then you throw us out. But when we come back in, it's on now, right?
Exactly.
It's almost the best way to earn it.
Did you become friends with the people that you were competing against?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was interesting because we, as Americans, we were always, most of our competitions were in Europe. Mm-hmm. And that Christmas break, it was a week long. But if you travel home and then back over, it just wasn't enough time. And so usually we'd be stuck in Europe for Christmas. And the Japanese team and some of the other teams that had a lot of travel, they'd be stuck there too. And so we got to become really good friends with the Japanese team for one. And when we first met them, they didn't speak Japanese and we didn't speak English. And so there's a lot of bowing and just, you know, stuff like that. And we exchanged gifts. And over time, we started learning how to speak Japanese and they started learning how to speak English.
How funny.
And just became really good friends.
Aw, that's so cool.
Sport, right?
Yeah.
Brings nations together.
Yeah. Yeah, we would actually, speaking of that, we would travel a lot with a soccer ball and bring it out in an airport and start juggling it. And you would just see like all these people come from all over everywhere.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I mean, no one would say it. I mean, they're speaking all different languages or whatever, but just start. Yeah. Sport just has its own language.
Were there any other twins?
Yeah. Yeah.
Italian.
Yep. Slovenia or Slovakia? I think Slovenia. Yeah.
How fun.
All right, so there's one more, right?
Yeah, so there's one more. So, yeah, pretty hungry after that last one and kind of like, yeah, it's within grasp if we do this right. So trained another 4 years after that, started the long, you know, trials process, whittled down to five women trying out for four spots. And again, heavy favorites to make the team. And so start out the trials, and I'm killing it. I had some of the best races that I've ever had. And she gets sick, like
right before the trial started.
You can't compete at that level and be sick. And so she attempted to race the first race and just kind of buried herself. And,
like the flu or?
Yeah, some sort of nasty bug that I picked up overseas. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. So she, did you race? You didn't race the last two races?
No, after the first race, I was pretty much stuck in bed. And,
So she didn't race. And, so yeah, I went on and had probably some of the best races of my career, made the team, super psyched. But all during it, you know, I'm watching her sick, not able to race. And I'm thinking to myself, well, 4 years ago, I was in that position, not sick, but I know what it feels like to be like that close, you know, a little bad luck on her part getting sick and not being able to have that chance. So I decided, you know, there's something I could do about it. And they announced the team. I turn around to the coach and I'm like, I declined my spot on the Olympic team, knowing that they would name the next in line.
That is so awesome. She gave up her spot for her sister.
I got to come up with something cool to do now. That's like giving a kidney and stuff right there.
That is so cool.
Would you do something like that for your brother?
Damn right. Absolutely. If I knew that, if we're smart like that, I was going to ask you those kind of questions after you got done telling us about, but y'all, you absolutely. You just kind of know.
Yeah.
Like there's a feeling I get sometimes. I'm like, I don't know if I'm the right one for this job, right? Or if we talked about this earlier, there's something about a twin, you can't explain it. And you're just like, I know you're the one who's supposed to do this, not me. Yeah. And vice versa. It's your time or not. It's on those races. Sometimes we get sick, or sometimes it's
can't explain. Did your coach have a hard time accepting that?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, a lot of people, they're like, well, why would you do that? You know, I was having some of the best races of my career. And you know, who knows what would have happened. I don't think I would have meddled, but you never know. But yeah, it was the easiest decision I've ever made. It just wasn't,
wasn't, it was a no-brainer.
People kept asking us or saying, you know, that's amazing that you did that, but I don't know if I could give up my dream for someone else. And for Tracy, that was our.
I was about to say, that's exactly how you say that. I appreciate you saying that, but it wasn't your dream. We're talking about, of course you can't understand it. How could you?
So how did you feel when she did that?
I said no. I'm like, it's because she missed out on that opportunity in Vancouver. I'm like, no, this is your time. You know, that you earned this one. You have to go. And she's like, no. Because up until I got sick, I had been having the year of my life too. And she's like, no, you're the one that's supposed to go.
I train with her every day. I know what she's capable of. You know?
That is so sweet. I love that.
Well, the same way. So you have a strength that she doesn't have, vice versa. With my brother and our buddies that I grew up with, I was like, that's why we keep them around, because he possesses a strength that I do not have. And when we're together, they feed off each other, and it kind of switches. So we don't really have a leader in our group, but whenever something pops up in front of whoever's proficient at it, you get your butt in there and do it, right? Yeah. And the rest of us back you up like can't believe.
Yeah.
Because we are proficient in it.
Yeah.
Right? But each time when that circle rolls around, it's a weirdest feeling. There's been a couple of times we've gotten that as well. And when you get dropped into it, it's the no factor. Like, hell no, no. I watched you go through all this to get that. Like, just the guy, like, I had to get everything out of the way so you could slingshot in there and do what we needed to do. It's kind of one team, one fight.
I was trying to explain that to my boss the other day, actually, about how, like, for me, it sounds funny when you say it out loud. Like, when I tell someone, separately, I'm only half as good as I am together. Mm-hmm. You know, when we combine our forces, it's that much better. You know, by myself, I can put in my best effort, and I'm gonna, you know, do as good as I can. But together, we can make amazing things happen.
That's so awesome.
Unstoppable force, you know, and it's hard for people to understand that, you know, that together we're the perfect person, but separated, you know, I'm only half a brain, half a heart, you know, things like that.
Unstoppable force, a movable object. When they go against each other, that's okay, right? But when they're moving together, nothing can stop. My brother and I is from the womb to the tomb. We came in here together, we're going to leave together, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Nothing gets in our way. That's why they separate us a lot of times. Just so we'll learn, and when you come back in stronger each time.
So did you become her coach?
No.
I became her probably one of the only American fans in Sochi.
Yeah, because there was, I don't know if you guys paid attention at all, but there was a white, they called it the White Widow. And it was, I think, a lady from Georgia or Crimea or something like that that was threatening the Russian Olympics. She wanted to go in there and blow it up. And she got into Russia, and they couldn't find her. And so they were worried that something was going to happen. So the U.S. Olympic Committee basically said, keep your family at home. There's a threat. If you don't want to go, we understand. But, you know, we're like, it's the Olympics. I'm not going to not go or whatever. So we, okay, well, I'm going. And Tracy was one of the few Americans that, at least for the biathlon side, that went and supported us.
I remember the Russian Olympics. Didn't they have some issues with, like, some of the Russians that weren't doing well, like, ended up really sick? Or did somebody end up missing or something? And because there was kind of a rumor, not on the news or anything, but I guess through social media, that that higher ups in Russia were taking out their own if they didn't medal.
It's hard with Russia. They have a completely different culture and things like that. They had the previous Olympics
banned from the last Olympics for. Yeah. Not being up to standards with their doping, anti-doping.
I mean, the things we saw that, you know, Russia and other countries were willing to do to to win at all costs. I mean, I'm the same way. I'll do it all, win at all costs, but I'm not going to cheat to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but the things we saw from, you know, people trying to cheat doping tests to, there were even, athletes being impregnated by their coaches and then aborting it so that they could get the hormone, boosts from,
oh my gosh,
the early stages of pregnancy.
Oh my gosh.
And just things like that. There, it's unbelievable what people are willing to do to win in other countries. And yeah. So,
well, one of the Russian athletes was caught for doping in Torino Olympics and sent home, stripped her of her medal, sent her home, and she was welcomed as a hero.
Oh, really?
So, you know, I mean, different cultures.
Yeah.
Completely different. I mean, that's one thing y'all get to see, right? You're ambassadors to the country. Does it make you appreciate America more when you leave it, when you come back, when you get to see everybody else and how that...
We live in the best country in the world.
I do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it breaks my heart seeing people, you know, burn the flag or kneel or things like that, because I think a lot of those people have never gone overseas to experience what it's like in other countries and to see how amazing we have it back here in the United States and the freedoms that we have and things like that. Every time I come back...
We're not perfect, but we're doing okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's how the perfect picture is the entire United States. It's all of us together. Imperfection is all through that.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
I heard somebody saying, you know, America's not exceptional. Whoever's saying that means they're not, because America is a people, and it's wherever we live. So if someone's feeding you that lie, and it's like, well, coming straight from the person who's saying it, most everybody else is exceptional. And that's always how I try to look at it. And if you get a chance to go over and wear our flag in any capacity, because what y'all take it all the way to the line after when y'all stop competing and it's not fun anymore, then that's when war is. Plain and simple. I mean, if it went down and they turned, if something ever happened and somebody came out at us, you don't think, where do you think you two would be? That's exactly right. Sniper, right. SEAL team, right beside. Get on them skis. It's that. It's kind of like that. Y'all are a perfect example of how far we can, and exceptional our people are in that hard, in that sport, the hardest one.
So you're in Sochi. Your sister's not competing with you. Walk us through that experience.
Yeah. So Sochi was probably one of the toughest experiences in my life, because when I got to the Olympics. It was kind of an unfortunate situation because of, I don't know if it was you giving up your spot or what, but they didn't want to race me. So I spent the entire Olympics just trying to battle for that opportunity to race. And you know, what was really cool about what she did is it inspired the entire world. Like, everybody's like, wow, that's amazing that you do that. When you have that opportunity to inspire people to, you know, do the right thing or help someone out, you know, you really got to take advantage of that. And so, it was one of those situations where there's a lot of pressure, a lot of politics and things like that. But I finally got the opportunity to race. They gave me one race to do it, and it. I'll sum it up. The whole race kind of was, it sums up our entire career. We pushed too hard. And I went out and I wanted to win that thing so bad that I
bonked
so hard. But the thing that I learned the most about that race is that I didn't quit. Because I remember it was one of the most miserable courses that we ever had to ski. It was straight up and straight down and really hard, and I was skiing around, and there were girls
quitting
left and right and just, you know, giving up and things like that. And throughout the race, the harder I pushed, the worse I was getting. You know, I was just, my tank was on empty. I just ran out of gas. And I started falling back down the ranks, and I see all these people, you know, quitting, things like that, and I'm like, I'm not going to quit. no matter what, even if I finish dead last, I'm going to give my absolute hardest, best effort on this day for Tracy and for our country. And so I did. I made it to the finish line and collapsed at the finish line. And you know, it wasn't the worst result ever, but it wasn't a medal. But the biggest takeaway I had from that is that I didn't quit.
Yeah. Aw, that's so awesome.
That's what you have to go through to get here. I mean, just lay it on the line. I had my ass whipped so bad they made a movie out of it too. All right, so I mean, at least you know when you show up, and it's I mean when we come in pairs, it's tough. You can bet more people learn something from that than they did from anything else. I get that part of the race getting in there, but when doing that is the pass or fail, just getting through that part to take that pressure. The beautiful part about it is like, oh, it's so noble of you to pass that down. That was hell. I mean, you got passed down hell, right? Yeah. To step into it, you could not do it. I mean, it was a blessing and a curse. That's how those work.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Period.
Yeah, there was, I remember. I
mean, that's the love that comes from. I was like, hey, man, I got my ass just whipped for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I remember skiing around this one nasty corner, and I'm coming around the corner, and one of the Japanese girls had flown off the course and was being carted off on a stretcher, and I was just thinking to myself how easy it could be for me to just launch myself off and that'd be my out, like, you know, my excuse, like, oh well, I have an excuse for not doing well because I just launched myself off the course, broke a ski or something like that. And I'm like, no, I'm whatever happens, I'm gonna own it, I'm gonna finish, I'm gonna put myself through this miserable hell that I'm going through right now, and I'm gonna get to the finish You know.
Well, for the record, if it makes you feel any better, I actually threw myself off the mountain to get it over with. Yeah. So good on you for sticking it out. But in that capacity, I know that sting, especially with us when we come back. That's why I had to go back. You got to go back, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can whip me if you want, but I'll keep coming back.
Yeah.
Up until the point to where you won't have to deal with me anymore or this won't be a thing. Right, and those are the greatest stories. Because if everybody's like, "Oh, I wanted to do this. I trained. I got gold." There's no in between. You don't have any of those moments where it's just like they took everything away from you. Oh yeah, we got some of them. All right, like you can't believe. And that's what makes you different.
So out of all of that, I mean, that had to just be so mentally exhausting, physical, of course, but just that had to just wear you down. And then you continue to compete in shooting sports. So the competition never died with all of that exhaustion. What drove you to continue to compete?
Just always wanting to be better, you know? Yeah.
And so now y'all do three gun, right? Three gun competitions, which is awesome. Is there any way we can like plug in some of their video of them doing these competitions? Are just so badass.
Apparently y'all have the best time at the ranch. Like, I hear about the She Never Quit and all that when y'all are all together doing that stuff, how much fun y'all have. We're not allowed. Yeah. I don't know, most people don't know that. But
no guy. Well, that's a woman's event.
Yeah.
Ladies weekend.
Well, that's not fair.
Guys, like, yeah, are not time. Allowed. They make I'm sure they would love you there, but it
no, it's a thing. I get it. No, it's fun. But I mean, I like to complain every now and again.
Well, yeah, and the best thing about three gun is it's more shooting and less running. So you're pulling the trigger a lot more.
Yeah.
Not going nearly as far, but yeah, it's fun. It tests your shooting on so many different levels, and coming from our background, it's fun when you do have those harder three gun stages, you're like.
So do one of you like to run more than the other? Who likes to ski? Who doesn't?
Oh, we both like to ski. We both like to run.
Both of you like to run.
We like the
That's
shoot.
A real thing. I hate running. My brother runs 110-mile races for fun. Like, I literally will not do it.
Yeah.
I'd rather fall.
That kind of thing. Just have him drag you.
Yeah, on. I love swimming. You put me in the water, different story altogether. I mean, there are some differences. Do y'all have any of those?
She likes red vines. I don't.
What's that?
Candy. So, candy. That red plastic.
That's the only difference?
Oh, pretty like much, Twizzlers?
Yeah. Twizzlers, yeah. Okay. Red vines.
No one went down that route with me because Mojo in here, we'd have been like, I know there is a difference.
I told you, they're so similar. Where you and Morgan have a lot of similarities, there's also a lot of differences about y'all.
I appreciate you telling me this, but I know exactly what I'm looking at, so I know that they're there.
Yeah, there probably are. I think our biggest differences are personality.
Yeah.
Other than that, we love to do the exact same things.
And y'all live close to each other?
We do, yeah. Yeah. There's certain things like she's better at math, I'm better at science.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That keeps going.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just that I know those two things exist, then yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh, there's,
you.
I'm sure there's other things.
We don't ever talk about them either.
Does one of you cook and the other one doesn't?
That's funny. Or
we both like to cook.
I'm trying to think
of something.
what's some of the biggest differences between us?
Well, I got the brains and the looks, and I don't know what you got.
Same kind of shampoo, same kind of toothpaste? Same clothes or off-colored? Opposite color?
Usually the same color.
Same color, yeah.
Mojo and I are different sizes now, so that only comes into play. But then there are a time of year when we're both the same size. And then I'll have a lot of stuff over here, but we'll just keep it at his house.
But Morgan loves saying that he's skinny.
Yeah, you know. Oh, yeah.
He does.
How much you weigh? He's like about 205 pounds. Like, oh, whatever, man. Are you kidding me? I'm not, because I'm the baby. But it's, yeah, it's funny. It's.
She's an inch taller.
Yeah,
so,
too.
Yeah.
That umbilical cord clamped it off.
Take this. You created all that hell for me for all the like you pressured me in the womb and in life. That's awesome.
That is so funny. Well, I love it. I love y'all's story. Is there anything else y'all want to share about your story?
So you got married, and your husbands are not twins, right?
No.
Are they buddies?
They get along, but they don't do a lot of stuff together.
Yeah,
so. Are they alike?
No.
So there it is right there.
Yeah. So what?
That's it right there. So they're different?
Yeah.
Told ya. Told ya.
That's the difference. So what did you go for in a man and what did you go for?
I married someone very similar to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And you?
She would say I married someone very similar to my mom.
Oh, really? How funny.
just personality-wise. Like, and what's funny about my husband is he actually grew up half an hour from where my dad did. So they have that same kind of twisted sense of Michigan humor, which I think is funny.
So growing up, did one of you run around with, like, ride with dad and was gonna, daddy's little girl, and then the other one hung out with mom, or was it?
No, because we were, because there's three of us. So my older sister would hang out with our mom, and then Teresa and I'd hang out with my dad a lot more.
He taught them to be, like, hunting outdoors.
Awesome.
He didn't have any boys, so he wanted to share, you know, that.
And y'all were supposed to be the boy.
We were one big boy.
On that spot.
Yeah.
My daughter, my Adelaide, she rolls around with me. I love taking her everywhere. It's the best, because I know when they get older, she won't want to, you know, understandably. I'm trying to get all that in there, but I teach her hunting. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm totally a daddy's girl, too.
What do you, I know, right here.
I'm
daddy's girl through and through.
Total daddy's girl.
So.
And y'all have kids?
I do.
She has two. Yeah, they call me second mommy.
Oh, I love that. We have another friend that's twins, Hannah and Joanna, and they do that. It's second, their kids. And then actually one of them named her daughter after her sister.
Oh.
Yeah, it's so cute.
Hello.
I guess I do
have a weird name.
Yeah, that's fun. I love that. Well, thank you all so much for sharing your story. And we can't wait to I want to put all the video together, just snippets from different things. I saw...
I have so many questions. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's a video of... I think it's you, Lanny, on a barrel, running on a barrel, and shooting at the same time. At the same time, and like hitting every single target.
Sounds easy.
It is not easy.
It's actually no. I was telling someone this the other day.
That sounds possible.
It's easier than you think it is. For a lot of people, so I do a lot of crazy stuff like that, but. Like, I'll unicycle and shoot, I'll hop on barrels, you know, a lot of different stuff like that. But it all comes down to just training the brain to
focus on one thing and the other thing being muscle memory. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
So
is that how you, when you describe like the never quit mentality to people, is that what you would say? Just train the brain?
Train the brain.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people say shooting. We'll just take just shooting for example. Everybody says, oh, it's 90% mental. And how often do people actually train the mental side of shooting? Never. They go to the range, they put a ton of rounds down range, pull the trigger a bunch. But they don't think about how their mind is processing it or is...
When we were training for a biathlon, so when you come to the end of the range, you not only have all those people screaming behind you and you can't think with that many people and they're either booing you, you know, or cheering if you hit. You've got your competitors right next to you shooting, so you know how they're shooting, so there's that pressure. And then you've got blizzard-like conditions half the time, so wind and, you know, sleet and whatever. So when we trained for biathlon, we trained the mental side of all the time. We're constantly putting something on training or constantly trying to distract each other so that when we get into that competition, we're able to flip that switch and be able to get the job done.
That is so awesome. I cannot train my brain.
That's what you can.
I'm not good at it.
Anybody train can. The brain, the body has to do that for you because it's mind, body, and spirit. You put all those together is when you get that cohesive shot. And it only happens at a young age through that's when it's like, how do you train the brain? Well, I'll start beating your body up because that's the only way you're going to learn it. And that muscle memory up into the point to where it's the hand-eye coordination, it's literally wherever this is looking and your finger point, it's just an extension. Like you're just reaching out and poking somebody. And whenever your eye looks at it, those shots that y'all do, it truly is that.
He always says that, and it's so hard for me. When I start thinking about that and I'm shooting, I mess up.
Because there's no thought into it. It's like with anything else, when I know to reach down to get a button or I know however you do everything else. With us, they wear us out. They beat us to death. That's skiing. I mean, they literally for days before they put an empty weapon in our hands so we understand what that feels like. And then a million times you'll pull that thing. And then they'll put a magazine in it with no rounds in it. And then one by one so you'll know. So what happens is you literally train your muscles to, that's a part of you. It's like your arm holding it up, yeah. Anything else. And unless you do, the more times you do that, it just becomes a thing. And that booing and all of that, that's audio programming. You put that in your head to where it becomes music, like when they're booing you and screaming at you, that's your rhythm. That's what they do to us. Yeah. So when people wear us out and start screaming at us is right when I start coming, that's when we activate. And we can't do it until they do that. It's kind of like when you're cheering, when they ask us, like, how come you can't? I was like, I have to be triggered. Yeah. Like, I got to be pushed into a moment to when it activates, and it's undeniable. And that comes through all that pain.
You're in the zone. You were able to flip that switch, and you're in the zone.
But we shoot better under pressure and with a high heart rate than we do just, like, if we're just plinking out at the range, you know?
Did y'all ever think about going to the military?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And we wanted to, but our mom, her side of the family was in the military, and she's like, I don't want my three girls in the military.
Aww.
So we had to honor our mother's wishes.
That's that straight gate to heaven right there, keeping mom happy.
Yeah. Are your parents just super proud of you now? Are y'all all still close?
Oh, yeah. Our family, we're all best friends. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. The family's so important. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. So
we have, his mom lives on the property.
Oh, you're the
log cabin that you pass coming in.
Nice.
That's her house. So yeah, we're all super tight.
Yeah.
The thing about when it comes to my brother and his kids, I mean, they're safe with him. They're safer with me. I mean, I'll be harder on them kind of, but then I won't. Cause you know, uncle, they get to do stuff you can't do with your dad. Right. You get to be that cool uncle. But with the twins, one of my brother and I talk about it, I was like, man, we're identical, which means his kids and my kids are closer than their brothers. And if they showed up on a blood test, it'd be that close. And we raise them accordingly. Having two personalities kind of in one family, helping, man, it's just so much fun. We're having the best time with this part.
Yeah.
She uses my kids for slave labor.
Yeah,
to pick up brass on the range.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's good for them. Builds character. Yeah.
Exactly. What are you talking about? It's like, you can do that job, I'll give you a more important one.
Yeah.
That's how I justify it with my kids.
But when I think of your kids, there isn't anything that I wouldn't do. They're almost like my kids because, you know, you're my twin, and there isn't anything I wouldn't do for your kids.
Yeah.
I literally don't look at them differently either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love my nephews.
They're a piece of work, man.
They're so funny.
Sometimes, because you're twins, right? When you see them doing something, you're like, why haven't you talked about that?
Yeah. I had Lincoln with the last She Never Quit. Remember I had the little baby boy? That's my nephew. Yeah. Lincoln was with us.
Man, that's awesome. Thank y'all so much for coming out here. That was great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. That was fun.
Man, that was so cool to have Lanny and Tracy on to share their story. They're just incredible. We were so grateful to have them here in the studio. If you guys love the show today, make sure to share it with a friend. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, because that helps us get the message out, share our message of never quitting with everybody out there. It's a lot of fun to do this every week, and you guys leaving reviews and sharing the episodes are how we're able to grow this thing. We appreciate you guys for doing that. Hey, make sure if you're not already, follow us on YouTube, follow us on social media. You can go to teamneverquit.com/social, see all of our social links. Me, Marcus, Melanie, Morgan, all of us are on social media, posting behind the scenes content, sharing all kind of stuff. If you haven't already, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/teamneverquit. We've got access to some cool, cool swag. Make sure you've subscribed to the show. We're available everywhere you get your podcasts. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys coming back every single week to listen to the show. We enjoy doing this, and we couldn't do it without you guys. We'll see you next week.